at that time too, a lot of Irishmen were listed in the British Army, not because they had any great love of England or fighting for England, but that they had no other means of making a living. And as I rode out on a bright May morning to view the fields and the flowers gay, whom shunned I spy but my own true lover else? She sat under yon willow tree. I took off my hat and I didn't salute her. I did salute her courageously. As I turned around, sure the tears fell from her, saying, "False young man, you have deluded me. For to delude you, how can that be, my love? It's from your body I am quite free. I'm as free from you as the child unborn is, and so are you, my sweet Jane, from me. Now a diamond ring, sure I own I gave you, and diamond ring to wear on your right hand. But the vows you made, love, you went and broke them, and married the lassie that had the land. Well, if I marry the lassie that had the land, my love, it's that I'll rue till the day I die. Where misfortune falls, sure no man can shun it. I was blindfolded, I'll ne'er deny. And at night when I go to my bed of slumbers, the thoughts of my true love runs in my mind. When I turn around to embrace my darling, instead of gold, sure 'tis brass I find. And I wish that the Queen would call home her armies from the West Indies, America and Spain, and every man to his wedded woman, in hopes that you and I might meet again. With that song. Think of that. So many songs on so many different themes. I'm just trying to think of some.
About one of the Going to America songs.
Yeah, there's a light song that has a type of chorus to it. It was a... There were a lot of emigration songs at that time. Apart from the famine in Ireland, which sent several million, I think 3 million at that time, to America. Another 4 million starved in Ireland at that time. There was also emigration from the lack of employment, and when Irish industry threatened English industry in any way, it was suppressed, and a lot of the factories then transferred across to England, and a lot of the Irish had to emigrate to America, again through necessity. That's not to say a lot of them weren't emigrating because they wanted to at the same time. This is a song called Paddy's Green Shamrock Shore. One of the main ports of emigration was Derry, up in the north of Ireland. From Derry Cay, we sailed away on the 23rd of May. We were boarded by a pleasant crew bound for America. Fresh water there we did take on 5,000 gallons or more, in case we'd run short going to New York, far away from the Shamrock Shore. So it's fare thee well, sweet Liza dear, and likewise to Derry town. And twice farewell to my comrade boys who dwell on that sainted ground. If fortune it ever should favour me, or I to have money in store, I'll come back and I'll wed the wee lassie I left on Paddy's Green Shamrock Shore. Well, we sailed 3 days, we were all seasick, not a man on board was free. We were all confined unto our bunks, with no one to pity poor me. No father kind nor mother dear to lift up my head when 'twas sore, which made me think more on the wee girl I'd left on Paddy's Green Shamrock Shore. Well, we safely reached the other side in 23 days. We were taken as passengers by a man and led round in 6 different ways. We each of us drank a parting glass in case we might never meet more. And we drank a health to old Ireland and Paddy's Green Shamrock Shore. So it's fare thee well, sweet Liza dear, and likewise to Derry town. And twice farewell to my comrade boys who dwell on that sainted ground. If fortunate ever should favour me, or I to have money in store, I'll come back and I'll wed the wee lassie I left on Paddy's Green Shamrock Shore. And some of them did come back, and some of them didn't come back.
We're waiting for the Carter Family Workshop people to assemble here. I see Jimmy Costa coming. Kate Justice is here, and Jenny and Tom Bledsoe is running around that tent acting a fool over there, and I don't think we'll ever get him. But we'll, while everybody's getting uncased and tuned up and deciding what they're going to sing first, why, Jimmy, we're going to put you on first, buddy.
Kay's
going first. All right. We'll ask Frank to sing one. This is such a rare opportunity for all of you to hear the very best from our Irish week, and we're glad he's back. Frank?
No, it's the simplicity and just the pleasure of singing songs and listening to songs. I get as much a kick listening to Jimmy Costa singing as I do to anybody else. And he has a lot of songs that we loaned to the Americans, you know, that you find on, you find the equivalent song that started in Ireland, being sung in the Appalachian Mountains, and just a variation of one way or another. In fact, I'll sing one of those songs. There, those other songs I've sang are purely local songs. This song has a story that's found all over the world. Won't it be too long, eh? Huh? Long, long Lion's Den? No, I'll sing it. It's called The Lion's Den. I was going to sing a different one. But it has to do with a woman who had two lovers, two brothers, and couldn't decide between which of them was to gain her favor, as they say in form, to gain her favor. So she decided to test them both. It's a common theme in the ballads. In this case, she went to a lion's den and she threw her fan in and says, whichever of you will bring back the fan, I will marry him. There are several different variations as to what happened. One of them eventually brought back the fan and just threw it at her and refused her. In other cases, this one, he was anxious to have her. It's called The Lion's Den. There were two brothers, both noted warriors. They fell in love. I'll change keys in this too. There were two brothers, both noted warriors. They fell in love with a lady gay, and for to win her they did endeavor. They tried to gain her both night and day. The one of them was a bold sea captain, commanded by brave Colonel Carr, and the other he was a first lieutenant on board the Tiger, a man of war. Then the lady made a bold resolution that she would wed with no man but he who would prove himself a man of honor, either on the land or on the sea. She called her coach for to be made ready one morning early by the break of day, and with her two gallants rode o'er the mountains until they came where the cannons lay. And when they came into the tower, she threw her fan in the lion's den, saying, which of you as would gain a lady must bring me back my fan again. Then out did speak the faint-hearted captain, and he was sore distressed in mind. In battle I was ne'er thought a coward, and to fight my foes I am well inclined. But among these bears, these lions and tigers, I think my life would no ransom prove. Oh, I'll not venture my life in danger, though I should never gain your love. Then out did speak the brave lieutenant, with a voice like thunder, both loud and shrill. Oh, I will venture my life in danger, all for to gain my love's goodwill. And when he went into the tower, the lions, they all looked fierce and grim, but well behaved bowl of tenant, his looks were 10 times as fierce as them. Then from his side he drew a rapier, and two of the lions he did kill. When the others they saw his manly courage, down at their conquerors' feet they fell. He then bent down the fan to lift up this courteous warrior, made no delay, while the lady in her coach sat trembling, lest he become the lion's prey. But when she saw her bald hero coming, and that to him no harm was done, with open arms she did embrace him, saying, take the prize, love, you now have won. Well, it was not long till the king got notice that two of his lions had been slain, but he was not at all displeased, and he gave him honor for the same. He advanced him from being a first lieutenant, and he made him an admiral of the blue, and soon the lady and he were married. This shows us all what love can do. End of happy era.
Frank Hart from Dublin. It's been an invaluable resource in trying to understand, for us, trying to understand the origins of a lot of the singing we do here in West Virginia. Rich Kirby, I want to introduce Rich Kirby here, who's going to moderate this Carter family session. And, get something up here and let's get going. Jimmy?
Can I use this, sir?
Yeah. Jimmy Costa, come on up here, buddy.
I'm coming.
Y'all dawdled around here all evening. I'm going to put you to work now.
Yeah. Flat
cake. There isn't one there.
Did I hear that? Oh, here it is. Did you hear him say that?
I actually must have it back.
Well, I'll tell you what, maybe I can borrow one from you and keep this. Yeah, you sit right up.
Okay.
Lady Margaret stood in her Bowery room, combing back her hair, when along come Willie and his new May bride, coming from the church so near, coming from the church so near. Well, she threw down her ivory comb, back she tossed her hair, and down she fell from her high, high window, no, never more to come near, no, never more to come near. Well, day was done and night come on, everyone asleep. Lady Margaret rose and stood all round, weeping at Willie's bed feet, weeping at Willie's bed feet. Well, how do you like your bed makings? How do you like your sheet? And how do you like your new May bride lying in your arms asleep? Lying in your arms asleep. Quite well do I like my bed makings, quite well do I like my sheet, but better do I like my old true love weeping here at my feet, weeping here at my feet. But a dream, a dream as that, I fear it was no good. I dreamed my room was filled with tears, and my bride all drowned in blood. And my bride all drowned in blood. Then he called down his waiting men, come one, come two, come three. Go and watch my new-made bride, Lady Margaret, I might go and see. Lady Margaret, I might go and see. Well, if you go see your Lady Margaret, pray what becomes of me. I won't be gone but an hour or two, then I'll return to thee, then I'll return to thee. Oh, is she in her bowery room? Is she in her hall? Or is she in her chambery, a lady above them all, a lady above them all? She is not in her bowery room, nor is she in her hall. She lies asleep in a cold, damp coffin up against a wall, up against a wall. Go open for me that new-made shroud, though it be sewn so fine, and let me kiss Lady Margaret's lips as often as they've kissed mine, as often as they've kissed mine. Her father, he opened that new-made shroud. Her brother turned down the sheet. Three times he kissed Lady Margaret's lips, fell dead right at her feet, fell dead right at her feet. Lady Margaret is buried in our churchyard. Willie is in the choir. And from her grave grew a red, red rose, and from his a briar, and from his a briar. They grew and they grew in our churchyard till they could grow no higher. And there they fell to the cold, cold ground, and the rose hung round the briar, and the rose hung round the briar.
For a penny or a half penny. We're going to sing out that direction, so. That's maybe because a lot of us got tired singing this week. Singing a lot too much, maybe. And this is a song that mentions the titles of many and many of the broadside ballads that are sold for a penny or a half penny. And it says this is 1863, and that in 100 years, all of these songs will have been forgotten. And a lot of these songs have not been forgotten, and to me that's a very heartening sign, that as you hear this song, you'll recognize title after title after title, if I sing it clearly and slowly enough, that of songs that we still hear. These are not the big ballads, these are just, some of them aren't even ballads, but they're broadsides. And they were sold, and you could find them in a museum now on a cheap piece of paper, cheaply printed with all the words, and not the music, usually very rarely the music. If you'll walk to town with me in 1863, the subject of my song on the way you will see, on fences and railings wherever you may go, you'll see the penny ballads sticking up in a row. Some of them to read you'll stand for a while, some of them are so odd they will cause you to smile, some of merit and some of pretense. They'll all be forgotten 100 years hence. I noted them down as I read them along and put them all together for to make up my song. There's Abraham's daughter going out on a spree with old Uncle Snow in the cottage by the sea. Mother, is the battle over? What are the men about? How are you, Horace Greeley? Does your mother know you're out? Do they think of me at home? I'll be free and easy still. Give us back our old commander of the sword of Bunker Hill. When this cruel war is over, no Irish need apply. Every day is Sunday and the goose hangs high. Yankee boys and Yankee doodle, where loud the cannon roar. We're coming, Father Abraham, full 40,000 more. Jimmy, don't go in my gum tree canoe. There's no friend so true as a dollar or two. The days when I was hard up with my charming Mary Ann were coming, Father Abraham. My Johnny was a shoemaker or any other man. Do they think of me at home? I'll be free and easy still. Give us back our old commander at the sword of Bunker Hill. When this cruel war is over, no Irish need apply. Every day is Sunday and the goose hangs high. Yankee boys and Yankee doodle, where loud the cannon roar. We're coming, Father Abraham, full 40,000 more. Jimmy, don't go in my gum tree canoe. There's no friend so true as a dollar or two. Days when I was hard up with my charming Mary Ann. My Johnny was a shoemaker or any other man. If your foot is pretty, show it at Lanigan's ball. Why did she leave him at the raging canal? I'm weeping sad and lonely, when shall I meet again? The charming young widow I met on the train on the other side of Jordan. Don't fly your kite so high. Jimmy's coming across the green, boys, root hog or die. Hungry and footloose, loose and ill, though poor I am a gentleman still. Go where you will and do what you may. I'm a man you don't meet every day. Homeliest man in town is the fellow that looks like me. Any place that I can hang my hat is home, sweet home to me.
Lovely.
Flanders in Vermont, and it's also included in some of Stephen Foster's books in a different version. I asked the curator of the Stephen Foster Museum in Kentucky, and he said they don't think Stephen Foster wrote it. So it was found both in Kentucky and in Vermont, and I found it from the Flanders collection on a tape as sung by an old Vermont man. And she also has a copy of a broadside that was a broadside. And it was different, slightly different from, quite different from the one I sang. The songs were different, but the idea was the same.
It's also a particular type of ballad. You have ballads which deal with the various trades, and a ballad which will go right through a city, saying where candle making, coffin making, horse stabling, harness making was carried on in the various streets. And that ballad that Margaret sang, it's a compilation of the titles of ballads that I recognise from Ireland. The Charming Young Widow I Met on the Train, for example, is an Irish ballad.
And Lanigan's Ball.
Lanigan's Ball is an Irish ballad. No Irish Need Apply is well known to the Irish who came to America originally when they had to deal with the wasps.
So it almost is an advertising song, like the Rice Krispies Pop Pop we heard the other morning, for the print seller's wares. He printed up these ballads and he wanted to sell them, and this could have advertised a lot of his songs, if it became a current song, then people would go to the ballad singers, when the ballad printers, when they had the print hung up someplace, and, oh, there's one that I might like. Does that answer your question? Good, Michael.
Jerry, can you... Clarence Hammonds, our old teacher, told me that his mother used to sing when she was spinning, working a spinning wheel. And so he never would sing it because he couldn't, it made him so sad to think of her being gone that he could never get through this song. But we'll try a little of it for you. Anybody got a pitch pipe or a...
What, yeah, what note would you like?
See, that's cheap.
Good for you. He's got a change key.
Oh, have you seen that turtle dove sitting in yonder's pine? He's mourning for his own true love, just like I mourn for mine. I'm gone away, coming back, and if I'm gone 100 years, this heart of mine will never be at ease until I see your face again. I'll put my right foot in my stirrup, my bridle in my hand, so fare thee well, my own true love. I'm bound for a foreign land. It's who will shoe your feet, my love, and who will glove your hand, and who will kiss your red ruby lips while I'm in a foreign land? My papa will shoe my feet, my love. My mama will glove my hand. Ain't a man on earth gonna kiss these lips while you're in a foreign land. I'll put my right foot in my stirrup, my bridle in my hand, so fare thee well, my own true love. I'm bound for a foreign land.
This is just a quick aside. For those of you who would like to study the ballad further, there are a few books I could recommend that you could find at your library. Francis James Child, The English and Scottish Traditional Ballad in 5 volumes. And he doesn't have the music, but he gives a lot of background to the ballads and talks about each one at great length, more than you maybe want to know. But it's a tool. He's a librarian, as was Malcolm Laws, who cataloged all the ballads that Child didn't catalog in another volume called American Ballads from British Broadsides. And these are sometimes considered younger, or from the broadsides, the printed page that I was talking about. Malcolm Laws is his name, and he also wrote a compendium called Native American Ballads. And this is not Indian, but it's ballads that were written in this country about things that happened in this country, telling stories about things that happened here. And the fourth book I wanted to mention is Bertrand Bronson's Music to the Child Ballads, which is maybe even more interesting than Child's book, because it has all the ballads he could find that have the music, and it's in three or four volumes. Those are library books that could be very interesting to those of you who would like to follow the topic of the ballad further.
The last book you mentioned,
Bertram Bronson.
Bronson. And he has the music to both ballads found in Great Britain and in this country.
And it's got 32 versions of Barbara Allen in it.
But it is very interesting to read through as a library tool for the ballad. That was Michael Kwan and Jerry Milnes. My name is Margaret MacArthur, and Frank Hart is here from Dublin, Ireland, and we're going to ask various people who are up for it to sing some ballads here, and I'd like to ask Frank to sing one.
Before you put away your notebook, I'll mention one to you. The books Margaret have mentioned are very scholarly books, but there is one book that's produced by Colm O'Loughlin, O'Loughlin, and it's called Irish Street Songs. There's two volumes in one now, and it's published by Pan, and it costs about $3 or $4. It's quite cheap, but it has all the simple, straightforward ballads, not the big ballads, but the simple ballads, and it has the music now. It's a lovely little book.
There's one other book I thought, which is Anglo-American folk song scholarship by D.K. Wilgus. I'm not sure of the title, but it's a wonderful book to leaf through because he talks about all the books that have been published. He'll mention all of these books I've mentioned, plus dozens and dozens more, and he gives quite good criticisms of each ballad book or folk song book that's been published in the past 80 years.
Anyway, our tradition is I don't have what Michael and Jerry had there, this grand harmonies that Americans seem to generate for themselves. At home, we don't do that. It's an individual tradition, and everybody sings their own song. And you'll always, if somebody tends to come in on a singer, somebody will rebuke them and leave them one singer, one song, and you'll get this coming across a pub. Unless there happens to be a repeated line when people will come in on the last line. But generally, I love the harmonies, but we don't have them. In the stories, in the ballads, you'll find, any of you that have played around with ballads, it's a very simple thing. It's pure pleasure. There's nothing more to singing songs, and singing ballads particularly, than pure pleasure. Don't mind the fellas that go off at tangents about obscure origins or intricate details or whatever else. You can do that if you wish to. That's only an aside. The essential thing is the singing of simple songs. And they are simple songs of simple people. They are just an expression of a people. And that's the way to approach it. But within the ballads, you have certain recurring themes. And one of them is called the broken token. And it's the lover is going away to sea, or he's going away in the army. And in those days, you went away to a war for 6 or 7 years at a time. And so the tradition was that you left a token. You broke a ring in half, and she took half, and you took half away to the war. When you come back, you had changed. He always comes back in disguise anyway, to test the woman's true love while he had been away. And he approaches, and she is there, and he lets on he's dead, etc. And eventually, when they meet, they put the two halves of the ring together, and everything is great. And the women never give out about this, peculiarly enough. They're quite happy to see them. This is a song dealing with the Napoleonic Wars, and it's called The Plains of Waterloo. Oh, one fine summer's morning, as I went walking all down by the banks of some clear flowing stream, there I spied a fair maiden making sad lamentation, and I drew myself in ambush for to hear her sad complaint. Through the woods she marched along, made the valleys to ring, while the small feathered songsters around her head they flew, saying the wars are all over and peace is returning, but my Willie's not returning from the plains of Waterloo. I approached this young maiden and said, my fond creature, well, may I make inquiry as to what's your true love's name? For I have been in battle where the loud cannons rattle, and by his description, well, I think I know the same. Willie Riley's my love's name. He's a hero of great fame. Although he's gone and left me in sorrow, now 'tis true. Ah, no man will me enjoy but my own darling boy. Although he's not returning from the plains of Waterloo. If Willie Riley's your love's name, then he's a hero of great fame. He and I have been in battle throughout many's a long campaign. Through Italy and Russia, through Germany and Prussia, he was my loyal comrade in France and in Spain. But alas, there at length, by the French we were surrounded, and like heroes of old, well, we did them subdue. We fought for 3 days, till at last we defeated him, that bold Napoleon Boney on the plains of Waterloo. On the 18th of June, it being ending the battle, leaving many's a gallant hero in sorrow to complain. Where the drums they do beat and the loud cannons rattle, 'twas by a Frenchman's bullet your young Willie he was slain. Oh, and as I drew near to the spot he lay a-bleeding, well, I scarcely had time for to bid him adieu. And as he lay dying, these words he kept repeating, fare thee well, my lovely Annie, you are far from Waterloo. When the maiden she heard all this sad declaration, her red rosy cheeks they grew pale and woeful one. And when he heard the sound of her sad exclamation, he threw her in her arms and says, I am your loving one. Oh, see, here is the ring that between us was broken. In the midst of all danger, it reminded me of you. And now this young couple, they are reunited, and no more will Willie battle on the plains of Waterloo.
Well, I have. I got into ballad singing a long time ago, and then decided that I couldn't sing ballads anymore because I never could remember all the words. So a few of them have stuck in my head, and I'll see if I can remember all the words to one. I like the kinds of ballads that are unaccompanied and sort of raise the hairs on the back of your head. You know, that's my definition of a real good ballad. This one I think was collected in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. There was a lady lived in York, all alone and lonely. She fell in love with her father's clerk down by the greenwood sidey. She leaned her back against an oak, all alone and lonely. And first it bent and then it broke down by the greenwood sidey. She put her foot against a thorn, all alone and lonely. And unto her three babes were born down by the greenwood sidey. She pulled out her yeller hair, all alone and lonely. And she tied up their feet so fair down by the greenwood sidey. She pulled a knife from out her breast, all alone and lonely, and plunged it in the baby's chest down by the greenwood sidey. She dug a grave wide and deep, all alone and lonely, and laid their bodies down to sleep down by the greenwood sidey. One day she was sitting in her father's hall, all alone and lonely. She spied three boys playing ball down by the greenwood sidey. Oh, babes, if you were mine, all alone and lonely, I'd dress you up in silk so fine down by the greenwood sidey. Oh, mother, when we were thine, all alone and lonely, you dressed us up in silk not fine down by the greenwood sidey. You pull it out your yeller hair, all alone and lonely, and you tied up our feet so fair down by the greenwood sidey. You dug a grave wide and deep,